morning. It's so good to see all of you here today. We want to welcome you on this Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And we are glad that you're here with us today. Palm and Passion Sunday. And we are going to be talking a little bit later on about the Last Supper. So this year I'm not going to preach on Palm Sunday. I'm going to preach on the Passion Sunday part of it and talk to you a little bit about what's coming up on Thursday and the eating together of the Last Supper and what that means for us today. But we want to welcome all of you, and we want to welcome those that may be listening online later this week and joining us for worship that way. And it's so good to see all of you. Man, we're like really close to almost every seat filled up today. And this isn't even Easter yet. It made me think, man, we might have to get some chairs and have them ready for next Sunday to put up. So, yes. But it's so good to see all of you. And as we begin today, let's stand and join together for our Gloria Patria. Join together there in our bulletin for our call to worship. Give thanks to God, who is truly good. Praise Christ, whose love abounds to the cross. Welcome the Spirit with songs of praise. Well, let's begin by our first hymn. Dealing with the Passion, I am thine, O Lord, 383, and you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning.
Rest. blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious fleet. Sing the choir, we pray again. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross.
Let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Christ of both celebration and sorrow, be with us in our time of worship today and this coming Holy Week. Help us embrace the fullness of your story, both the triumph and the tragedy. Strengthen us to proclaim blessing and hope that we may be children of your promise now and always. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. The next one is 218, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Here's our Palm Sunday hymn for you this morning. Different there. I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning, if they would.
Want to come down? Come on down. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. All right, good morning. How are you doing? Good, good, good. All right. Has anybody ever talked to you about the Lord's Supper before?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever helped your mom or dad, probably more mom, maybe grandma, when you were preparing a meal? Now, wait a minute. I will correct that. Because you could be helping your dad if he's out cooking on the grill or getting ready to smoke some meat or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Now, is there kind of a ritual that you go through sometimes when you help to do something? Maybe you don't help at every meal, but maybe sometimes you help to bake cookies I think that's an easy place to start out with. I remember that. I remember when my grandma first was teaching me how to cook burgers on the skillet, and then putting french fries in a big pan full of oil and making our own fried french fries. Oh yeah, they were good. They were good. Yeah. And so that's kind of, you know, you learn that ritual, and then if you like that, you keep making it that way. You keep making it that way. Is there something special that your family does? Maybe when you get together for Easter or Christmas with the whole family? And is there something that maybe your mom makes every year that she takes because everybody likes it? What is it? Oh, no-bake cookies. Oh, yeah, those are good. Those are good. Somebody in our church by the name of Kathy Maxson makes those good no-bake cookies like my mom did all the time. What else? Something else that gets made that's pretty regular? Or you do it like the similar way every time? Turkeys, yes. Yes, turkey. You now, depending on your family, you can cook it in a roaster, you can cook it in the oven, or you can drop it into that big tub out there in that oil and fry it. Have you ever seen that? I remember the first time I saw that. I had never seen a fried turkey before than what they did. And they're like, now stand back in case the one we drop it in there, the grease goes flying out. Yeah, because it got real hot. So there's rituals that we go through. I remember at Thanksgiving, my mom's sisters and my sisters and others, which will be our cousins, the ladies all came together and they made homemade mashed potato rolls early in the morning for Thanksgiving lunch when we got together and family. Every year. And I remember the first year we couldn't do that anymore. I missed it. I missed those. And so there are rituals we go through. Well, guess what? Jesus, at the Last Supper, it's the Last Supper Jesus ever had on earth while he was living. In the middle of it, he said, I didn't click it far enough. Oh, I don't have it because I think I... Oh, yeah, I do. Hold on a minute. I want you to see that real quick. Okay. While they were eating, which means they were eating the Last Supper together, and I won't get into it about the details of that supper, but notice in the middle of it, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks. I'm adding to it. And said, take, eat. This is my body. And then a little bit later, he took the cup. And he blessed it. And he said, take, drink from it. And then he said some more words about it. Where have you heard those words before? What? Yes. Yes. Guess what? We follow the same ritual practice that Jesus did with his disciples. And it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes don't think we always think about that. We just think, oh, this is a practice that we do in church. But it's more than that. And if you are allowed to take communion, it just depends sometimes on parents, when you take it, and a lot of them want you to understand and know what it means. When you start to take it, you are following. We do that. We're following the way Jesus and the disciples. Now, to be more accurate, if we were to practice it that way, we'd all be downstairs around the tables and eating, and then I would stand up in the middle of it and say, here's this bread, and I would break it, and I would give thanks, and I would start passing out all the pieces, and you would take it and eat it that way. But we're following the practice of Jesus and those very first disciples. And each one of those things, the bread and the cup, mean different things to us about what Jesus did when he gave his life for us. And we get to receive Jesus' grace and forgiveness and love and all of those things that I talk to you about a lot. We have that, and we experience that, and we can receive that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's why we sang that song, "Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died." It's not about being there where Jesus died, but it's remembering what he did for us, because he paid for all those things that we enjoy as Christians today. And that's a lot of beautiful things. Okay, you guys are heading downstairs this morning.
And we're going to go to our time of prayer. And if you have a joy or concern, we want to let you have a chance to share those this morning before we go to prayer. Somebody this morning, yep. Oh, God. Thank God for that. Yes. Yeah, you're like my sister-in-law, my oldest brother, same thing. And I didn't even know that about you. And I knew you 10 years ago. Wow. Wow. Thank God for that. Somebody else. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay. Somebody else. Yep. Okay. We want to remember Melanie then in our prayers this morning. Yeah.
My younger brother Delmer had hip surgery yesterday. I'd like to keep him in his prayers.
Yes, as he's recovering. Some of you know a little bit about that and what that entails. Yes, somebody else? Yes. Did you say Perry?
Terry.
Oh, Terry. Is that Terry as in a young man or Terry as in a girl or lady? Sorry.
It's Belinda's husband.
Okay.
Young man.
Okay. Okay. Somebody else this morning. Someone else, yep.
From the prayer chain, we had Georgia Witches of Joy, that she's here today, and Dave Grinlin, and Smoke Shout. I have my grandson.
I'll say more about Smoke in a minute, but yeah, go ahead.
I have my grandson, Dale Miller, on because they found out he's had back pain that he has no lower lumbar areas, vertebrae, and so they're going to probably have to do surgery. Brenda's here today, and that's a blessing. Brenda Whitney, she has heart problems and cancer. And Brenda got the sisters in the hospital.
Who's the, what's the sister's name?
Brenda, no, I don't know her name.
Okay.
And then in my devotion yesterday, it asked that you pray for persecuted Christians around the world. North Korea killed them if they think they're Christian. And there's 380 million Christians that are being persecuted in our world. And a joy was doing the daffodils. I don't know how many vases got sent out, but they got sent out.
Okay. Somebody else? Anybody else?
I'm with you. A few weeks ago, my sister Jill had a scan, and she is still cancer-free, but will still be going through chemo treatments to keep that cancer at bay. She's doing so well that they are actually in Florida watching their grandson play baseball, so traveling overseas as they head back later this week. I got an update from Ashley Devitt, and Evan had to have two more surgeries this week, so he could use the continued prayers.
Okay. Somebody else? Oh, yep.
Unspoken.
What?
Unspoken.
Oh, unspoken, sorry. Someone else? Yep.
Unspoken.
Unspoken. Anybody else?
Military personnel, many of them are traveling right now, which is extremely difficult on their families.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
We don't know where Matthew's at right now.
Okay. Yep, and very common, yes. So we want to remember Matthew and the military and where they're at. And someone else.
Bill and Shauna Wilkins.
I have them down, yep. We want to remember them. Different issues, health-wise and other things. Gene Cavolt had a spell this morning. I don't know if she ever got to the hospital, but it had some of the symptoms of a stroke, and but I don't know anything beyond that. We want to remember Brad Smith. This is my cousin's husband, who has they found it early. He's in stage one cancer. He's going through treatments and low dose radiation. We want to remember him. During that time, I know some of the prayer chain people, Smoke went into the hospital on Thursday, and he was having trouble breathing and swelling of feet. He had fluid building up in his heart and body. They took 5 liters of fluid off of him on Thursday, and then I saw him Friday, and they had given him more Lasix to get that off. Once they get that off, they're hoping he'll get to come home today. Not still waiting. Okay. I wasn't sure because the cardiologist needed to come in and find out what was going on, so they may want to get that. Yeah.
Tomorrow will be the
earliest. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that update. I appreciate it. And so we appreciate you keeping him in our prayers. He was feeling much better after he got the 5 liters off. But I tried to encourage him. I said, I've seen this happen with folks in our own church here before in the past. And we just want to continue to pray for him. Any others then this morning? Yes. Yay. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yes. And so thank God for that. Anybody else? All right. Lots. Almost a page full. And we want to give you a chance to just pray for whatever ones that come to your mind while she plays. And then I'll come and close us out in prayer. We are thankful today for your presence among us and that you said you would never leave us or forsake us, that you said you would be with us till the end of the age. And we are so grateful and thankful for what you do in our lives and how you guide us and lead us and are with us no matter what we're facing in life. And Lord, there's so many that have been mentioned today that are facing difficulties and struggles in their lives right now, Lord. We think about Evan with the surgeries and smoke today, and Georgia, and Bill and Shauna, and Jean, and Brad, and Melanie, Lord, and Delmer, and Terry, and Dale, and Bretta, Lord. We just lift up each one of these today, Lord, that you would touch them with your healing grace, with your presence, with faith, with strength, with perseverance through all this that they're facing right now. And surround them with your love and grace, and be there for them, because you are the great healer. Peter tells us that by your wounds that we are healed and made whole. And Lord, we just ask for your touch for each one of these that we've lifted and named up today. Lord, we think about all those on our monthly calendar. So many of them that are going through treatments. So we lift them up to you, Lord. We know you know each one of them. We think about Matthew and our men and women that are serving, that are traveling. And some of them, we don't know where they are and what they're doing right now. God, that you'll watch over them, keep them safe. Lord, give them wisdom. And Lord, for their families, Lord, when they're away, Lord, give them and grant them grace in the midst of all of that. And we think about the Del Camp family as they're traveling, your grace and mercy, and others that may be traveling during this time that are not with us. Lord, we think about those three unspoken needs, God. You know each one of them. And so we lift them up to you right now. And Lord, we do pray for our brothers and sisters around the world in places, Lord, that are facing not only persecution, but other forms of injustice and oppression and so many different ways, God, that you would grant grace and faith and peace in the midst of all that. And Lord, we do lift up our service next Sunday, our Easter Sunday service, God, that you would just grant your blessing and presence and anointing, Lord, as we celebrate, and your touch upon each one that's there that day. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we also pray for anyone that's come in today that maybe had an unspoken need that they couldn't share, but they're facing something right now. God, that you would grant wisdom and guidance and your touch and your presence and your peace today for each one that may need that today. And Lord, bless the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word today and talk about the Lord's Supper. Lord, may we, our eyes be open to what you have done for us and what you have provided for us and the blessings and the benefits that we receive because of what you were willing to go through to show the love of God to the world. And we're grateful and thankful for that now as we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with us this morning. And I know that that makes a difference in those that were mentioned and prayed for today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, as I always say, thank you for your faithfulness. And it is how the needs are met to continue the work of the church, local church here, and our missions team and the outreaches that we do throughout the year. And it's also the way we open our hands and give. And in return, God returns and gives to us back in various ways. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your goodness and grace. Bless the gifts we offer to you, that they may bring goodness. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from, it is part of one of the lectionary readings for the Passion part of the Sunday. And so I'm only going to be reading four verses there in the middle of it all. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30, and you can follow along there. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and says, "Take, eat. This is my body." He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for all, so their sins may be forgiven. I tell you the truth, I won't drink wine again until the day when I drink it in the new way with you in my Father's kingdom." Then after singing songs of praise, they went to the Mount of Olives. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, you know, I like to start with something funny. I think I've shared this a long time ago, but I found it this morning. So a priest, a minister, and a rabbi wanted to see who's best at their job. So they each go into the woods, find a bear, and attempt to convert it. Later they get together, the priest begins, "Well, when I found the bear, I read to him from the catechism and sprinkled him with holy water. Next week is his first communion." "Well," the minister said, "I found a bear by the stream and I preached God's holy word, and the bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him." They both looked down at the rabbi, who was lying on a gurney in a body cast. Looking back, he says, "Maybe I shouldn't have started out with circumcision." And if you don't get the joke, then you need to know a little bit about Judaism's theology and circumcision. So, yeah. I want to talk to you this morning about the bread and the cup and the Last Supper. Now, I'm sure we all have rituals or ways of preparing for having people over to our houses for a meal. A cookout, a family to get together, or maybe something more significant. Well, according to Matthew, Jesus and his disciples prepared for the Passover. You have to go through and read the beginning parts of chapter 26 there in Matthew. But they prepared for the Passover, or really it is the Paschal offering. And this is one of Israel's main festivals commemorating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt and the protection that they found and experienced because of what God had taught them and told them to do. And as they left Egypt. So Jesus and his disciples prepare for this event by, first of all, securing a room, possibly close to the temple area. Second, by removing any leaven. Now, let me say something about that. I was doing a little research this week on that. It was probably meant some type of sourdough starter. Some of you know what that's like. You've seen that. You probably were involved with that, where they passed around this sourdough starter and you made bread from it and da-da-da, and you would pass it on and so forth. Because I found out, and I didn't know this, but what we call today yeast wasn't invented yet in that time period. And they would add honey to the sourdough starter that would accelerate the rising of the dough. They had to get rid of it all. And the reason why is because leaven was considered something that was impure, so to speak. And then they would obtain a lamb and they would take it to the temple, where in the one section of the temple complex, not in the holy place or the holy of holies, but in the temple complex on the outer parts of it, they would have this lamb ritually slaughtered. Then they would roast it and prepare it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, or what we sometimes hear about, read about, the Passover meal that Jews to this day still practice, and it will begin shortly here in the next week. Sometimes you see it on your calendars. Passover begins. And Jesus, in the midst of this, institutes what we call the Lord's Supper, communion, Eucharist, in the middle of that meal that they're eating together. In fact, Matthew tells us that while they were eating, Jesus said, "Take, eat, drink. Because they shared in that supper like we do today as an act of faith in Jesus as our Paschal Lamb. Paschal Lamb. Now, I'm going to make it real simple for you tomorrow, this morning. If you saw the title and you have the sermon outline, you probably already know the two main points. First of all, I want to talk to you about the bread. Eat. This is my body. What's that mean? What's going on? What's happening here? I'm going to tell you about it. But it reminds us that we share in Christ as our Passover matzah. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means here in just a minute. But during the Passover meal, Jesus took unleavened bread, matzah. That's what that Hebrew word means. A cracker-like flatbread made without the sourdough starter and honey. And when he took that, he broke it and he gave thanks for it. And he gave it to his disciples and said to each of them, take and eat. Like we do when we share in communion. In fact, I remember one of the churches that I was a part of for something, and they had communion. And even back when I first came, a few years in, not right away, Lynn started making a loaf of homemade bread that would be in there, and we would break it and put it on the two plates that would go out to you, and you just plucked off a piece of the bread, which is very close to what they would have done at that time. And the taking and eating of the bread graces us spiritually. That's why the Lord's Supper is called a sacrament. Because the word sacrament is a fancy word for, means we receive grace when we do this. And so baptism is a sacrament. We receive the grace of the Lord when we follow and are baptized. And that's what's going on. So we receive every time we share, every time we do that practice, we are receiving of Christ as the sinless crucified one, our protector and healer. Now you might be saying, whoa, wait a minute. Why are you saying all those things about Jesus? Well, that's because the bread, that unleavened bread that didn't have any leaven in it, that sourdough starter, anything unclean, anything bad, because he was the sinless crucified one. And this story that is recounted in Exodus 12 tells us that when they went through this ritual, that God protected them from the final plague on the Egyptians. And if anybody knows your Exodus story, it's the death of the firstborn sons. Because Pharaoh was so stubborn and hard-hearted that he would not let God's people go. And basically, God said, okay, well, you can have what you want. And that's what happened. But the Israelites were protected. But also in Isaiah 53, it tells us that Jesus, the suffering servant, who we interpret and Peter interprets in 1 Peter 2:24, 25, 26, that we, or that Jesus is the one that was broken for us. And that's why they break the bread and pass it. And Peter says in his passage, when he recalls that, and I want you to hear this morning. Somebody might need to hear this morning. Is that Peter says, his very last sentence he says when he finishes talking about this, he says, by Christ's wounds, we are healed. What Jesus went through, what he paid, and what we remember as this is my body, we can receive healing from the Lord. So next Sunday, if you're here, and we take communion together, and you take that bread into your mouth, If you need to, say, Lord, I receive your healing today. Because Christ is our healer. And to build on that, and this is where it gets more specific, is not only do we share in Christ as our Passover matzah, that unleavened bread that we take into ourselves, we take into Him in grace and His presence, but we also share in Christ as the suffering one. Not necessarily so we suffer, but because He suffered for us. It's interesting that Deuteronomy, it refers to the unleavened bread and calls it, listen to this, the bread of affliction. The bread of affliction. Now, okay, well, what's that mean? Why is that mentioned? Well, let's think about it in light of some things I said out of Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. It was Christ's very afflictions, a crown of thorns pressed into His head. Nakedness. Many people, we always see the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross and He's got a loincloth. Nope. Romans never did that. They stripped Him naked and then they scourged Him with the whip, you know. And sometimes they were whipped so bad that you could see their ribs. And then on top of that, He's ordered to carry the crossbeam. The beam that goes across and carry that to Golgotha, which is outside of the city. It was a long trek. And then the nails pierced through His hands and feet. And then, and I explained this once in a teaching, I don't know if anybody remembers it, eventually all the victims suffocate to death because of what the cross does to you as you slump down more and more. When you lose strength. And Scripture tells us that He went through that, and that carried our sins and brings us healing. Wow. We have received so much. Taking and eating the bread together reminds us of Christ's willingness to suffer for good as proof. Listen to me, as proof of God's love for the world and of His healing and saving presence that's not only for us, but with us every day when we walk. Think about that. That's a part of us every day when we walk because He lives in us, the bread. Now the cup. Drink, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for all for the forgiveness of sins. A couple things here. I want to draw your attention to the words, all of you. All of you. We share in the unity of God's people in covenant with Christ. The cup speaks of and symbolizes the suffering that Jesus went through, but it also points out something more than that from Exodus 24, and that is that God has established a covenant with us because of Christ Jesus. And that covenant says we are a part of God's people and that there's unity. And so it doesn't matter what church you attend, where you live, it doesn't matter your age, sex, race, nationality, social or economic status. We are all united in covenant. All those who put their faith in Christ and are baptized, and we are one in Him. And every time we eat of that bread and drink of that cup, it's a reminder that we are in covenant with God through Christ Jesus. And then the other part of that is we share in the year of Jubilee and the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit what that all means here. So as we take and drink, Matthew tells us Jesus says that we can receive the forgiveness of sins. That's why He's done that. My blood of the covenant for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, it's interesting because both in Hebrew and in Greek, forgiveness is a word that means to release and to send away. Now, I want you to grab a hold of that imagery, because when we put our faith in Christ, when we're baptized, and every time we share at the table and drink of the cup, it reminds us that Jesus has released us from our sins and sent them away from us so that we can live as free people. And as we take and drink, we walk then in that freedom. And then it doesn't stop there, but it involves the year of Jubilee, of God's favor. Now you might be saying, well, what's the year of Jubilee? Well, let me tell you what that involves, the Jubilee of God's favor. Rest from labor. Listen to this. Rest from labor. Debts being canceled. Slaves being freed. Liberation from prison. Households being reunited. Release from prison. And Jesus goes on to talk about sight to the blind, because he says, I'm preaching the year and telling you about the year of God's favor and Jubilee. Jesus paid a great price for our salvation. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are exercising our faith and trust in Christ. As we take and eat, Christ strengthens and graces us, assures us of his love, and we are reminded of all the benefits that he has paid for. Think of it this way, if I can paint a little picture for you. Think of it as of this sacrament as a practice of spiritual eating. When Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body. When he says, drink, all of you, this is my blood of the covenant. He is saying, trust in me and what I have done for you on the cross. Let me nourish your spiritual life. Because we can't do this on our own. And as we enter Holy Week and we're reminded about all of this, let us seize hold of the benefits of his grace and forgiveness and freedom, release, healing, and protection as we hear the stories again and take and eat of the bread and cup. Amen and amen. Well, let's just take a few moments and greet one another this morning and share that blessing. And then we'll close out with our chorus there. We will glorify the King of Kings. And if you have any, if you got your palm, this is a good chorus to wave your palms as we sing it this morning, as we glorify the Lord this morning. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify. I am Lord Jehovah, reign in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord. Join together for our benediction this morning. With the Spirit in our hearts, we move to the cross.
May God bless us with strength for the journey.
Go with God this week, trusting in God's faithfulness, just as Christ did His last week, knowing the Spirit journeys with us. Amen.